T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
We are pleased to be joined by St. Paul City Council President and representing Ward 5, Amy Brenmullen. Thanks so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you so much for the invitation.
Yes, let's talk about rent stabilization in the capital city. And people have maybe heard about this proposal. Where does it stand right now?
Well, It is the hot topic at the council. The last November, voters brought a referendum forward to cap rent at 3% annually. And the better part of this year, the city council and a large group of stakeholders have been working on ways to improve the language of the ordinance so that it makes sense in St. Paul. We're walking into this week expecting a final vote on Wednesday, with a few modifications to the ordinance as it was initially presented to the council. But by and large, we are keeping that cap in place, and the changes are mostly intended to incentivize new construction and reinvestment.
Yeah, and let's start with the stakeholders. Obviously, there are groups that represent renters in the city, and then, of course, there are the landlords as well. And finding an ordinance and finding a compromise that works for both sides is the balancing act, because you don't want to do an ordinance that is heavily in favor of renters, because you won't get new development, and landlords would have a tendency to shy away from new properties, et cetera, or improving properties in the city.
Exactly. I mean, the initial ordinance was really brought to us by one side of the conversation, and that was the housing advocates. And the housing advocates have a great point. We need to protect our tenants, especially in a tight housing market. And so I appreciate their initiative and their leadership. But exactly what you said, we need to bring all of the stakeholders into the conversation and make sure we're not missing important details and making sure that the ordinance as drafted works.
Yeah, and let's talk about the challenges. I suppose coming up with a number, whether that's based on the inflation rate, and inflation is high right now, so there's got to be a challenge in that. But as you illustrated, making sure that there's incentives for investors to build new properties all over the city of St. Paul in various price ranges, that certainly affordable housing is very important, but also other types of housing and rental properties are valuable to the city as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think that everybody would agree that the number one thing we need is more units. We need more houses. We need more duplex. We need more fourplex. We need more large apartment buildings. We need little ADUs and tiny homes. We'll take it all. Like, we need housing right now. And we wanted, when we made, one part of our changes into the ordinance is adding a 20-year exemption for new construction. And the idea there is that investors are going to, as you mentioned, shy away from projects where they can't get their return on investment. And we know that we need investors and we need developers doing projects in order to get to that number of units that we're looking for. So that 20-year exemption was a balance. Some folks were asking for 30, 50. 100, and right. others wanted none. And I think we found that 20 is really a number that works in St. Paul.
And you talked about all over the city. I know across the river in downtown Minneapolis, you're seeing what once was potentially retail space being converted into residential space. Do you think that is a trend that will accelerate, for instance, in downtown St. Paul, that you'll see the commercial or the office space being converted over to residential?
Yeah, I mean, I think these are things we never would have anticipated before COVID, right?
Sure.
And then all of a sudden we have office space that's not going to be needed in the same way it was, since people are kind of hybrid, working from home,
yes.
Changing their habits. And so I definitely think we're going to see conversions of office to housing. I hope that also means that we'll see conversions of, first floor into more restaurants and retail and things that people that pop up when there's a lot of folks living in the same, proximity and with higher density. But we're going to see that, and that is one of the classes of exemptions, is if it's a conversion from one type of zoning to another, that would also qualify for that 20-year new housing construction.
And on the renter's side, there's a tendency when improvements are made to a space or there are improvements in general in the neighborhood that maybe a grocery store or other amenities move into the neighborhood, that has an upward trend on rent. And I would assume as improvements are made or amenities in a neighborhood improve, that this ordinance will protect those renters from being priced out of a property.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think there's two answers to that. One is, if the city has money invested in a project, we can by contract require certain rent limits. And so we're definitely, using when we're using taxpayer dollars, we're adding those requirements. But in terms of like seeing reinvestment in neighborhood, there's a lot of interest in living in the city. There's a lot of interest in investing in different parts of St. Paul and Minneapolis. And we are worried about displacement. We're worried that people will get priced out of their home. So the 3% cap, I think, really does put a kind of a lid on how much the rent is going to go up annually. One of the changes that we proposed that passed with a 7-0 vote last week was to change the ordinance so that landlords could adjust between tenants if there was a just cause, or if a tenant just voluntarily ended a lease. And so we thought it would make sense to shift any sort of upward rent rates between tenants. The advocates and a lot of people were worried that was a blank check. And so they said, can you do something so that if there is a vacancy decontrol or a vacancy adjustment, that it's not an unlimited adjustment? And so last week we proposed a vacancy adjustment, but moderated it with an 8% increase plus the CPI, the Consumer Price Index.
St. Paul City Council President representing Ward 5, Amy Brenmullen, joining us on this Sunday evening here on Steel Talk, and Steve Thompson in for Gerilyn Steele. And she is joining us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker hotline. Beyond that, the city has other tools, and you alluded to properties and developments that the city does have an involvement in. Is the council considering stepping up, if you will, investment in property development around the city?
Absolutely. We just committed in partnership with Ramsey County up $70 million of American Rescue Plan funds to affordable housing, low-income housing, and we're trying to get to the deeply affordable at the 30% area median income level. So there's a lot of resources that are coming from the city, from the county, and we're working with partners like Aon and Project for Pride and Living, Common Bond, that are doing great work with nonprofit development, as well as for-profit developers who are looking to have different levels of housing units in one building. So we'll see some market rate, but we'll also see some deeply affordable by those for-profit developers. And when we add those low-income units, we're able to say we need to keep these low-income units for 30 years or 40 years. Or recently, J.B. Vang and Associates agreed to a 50-year agreement on keeping the units at an affordable rate. So we are stepping up and stepping in, although I would say that the council and in partnership with our mayor's office have been prioritizing adding housing and keeping housing affordable for the better part of the last decade.
All right, so now one of the big questions, all those stakeholders, people representing renters, representing landlords, is there consensus? I know when there is compromise, not everyone's 100% happy, but what kind of feedback are you getting on the ordinance as it reads at this moment?
Well, I think you make a good point. When you reach a compromise, usually everyone's a little bit unhappy. But
sure.
I do. And so then you're like, oh, we must be doing something right. And I will say that when you have a written ordinance that comes to the council and then you have to, the work in front of us is to change an ordinance, it's a lot different than if we were drafting it from scratch. So I think that that's kind of created this false, conflict that really we're so close in terms of what we're all trying to do. I believe that as we're coming into this Wednesday's vote, that people are fairly well in agreement. I think that there are people who think we could do more. I think there are folks out there who wish we would have just repealed the whole thing. And we're finding that common ground. We're respecting and honoring the will of the voters who turned out to vote in last year's election, but at the same time recognizing that we needed to have more people at the table in order to make that ordinance make sense in St. Paul. And I'm really happy that we've struck that balance. And I've said several times at the council meetings, we're not putting this in a granite, monument. This is an ordinance. And if in 6 months or a year or 2 years we need to change it, we will. But, this is how we're going to move forward as of hopefully this Wednesday.
And then finally you brought up the number and the need is to find that balance, that it can't be, 100% or 80%, that there needs to be balance between all the constituencies here. But the sense of need and the demand, can you give us an idea of, what St. Paul's going to need for new rental units in the coming years? I'm sure there's been a lot of studies done and a lot of numbers, but give us a sense for the need in the city of St. Paul.
Boy, I would say, we have the historic development of the Ford site, and we're adding 4,000 units of housing there. We're redeveloping Hillcrest, and there will be another 1,000 there. But I would say we could probably use 10 to 15,000 units of housing. Now, I'm interested in, we talked earlier about, converting office space into housing. Are people going to end up living more in the suburbs than the exurbs? And is the demand going to come down on the city? I don't know. But I don't feel like we're in a place where we can take our foot off the gas in terms of additional housing. So I'd say we're looking at somewhere between 10 and 20,000 units of housing.
Wow. A big number and a lot of work to be done. But thanks so much for the time tonight and spelling it out. Once again, the big vote coming up on Wednesday. Have a good evening.
Yeah, thanks for the invite.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.